We are very lucky that we have the schus to learn in the same base medrash and to hear Torah from Rav Rosner of Leibowitz every day. We're grateful enough that they give us shirim individually, but Baruch Hashem, we have access to them together to answer a lot of the questions that you guys submitted, so we are very thankful to them that they've taken their time. And on a technical note, you guys submitted many questions. We will try to get to as many of them as possible, but we probably will not cover all of them. So that is that. All right, so the first question is as follows. Can one have different rebbis for a different area of halacha or hashkafa, or should he more ideally have one rebbi for everything?
Or the answer. Rishus Rav Leibowitz, great to be able to share words of Torah again in this wonderful Beis Medrash. Again, we'll try to generalize as many of the questions as possible. There are specific issues, but some will be more general, some will be more more specific. Different rebbeim have different expertise, you know, just on a personal level. I'm sure Rabbi Leibowitz could have similar expressions. I have, you know, there might have been one rebbe that I was in Sheeran for many years. There might be another rebbe that I ask a lot of questions to. There might be a different person who you could take Eitza from. You know, different rebbeim, different people, different Jews have different expertise. And there's nothing wrong with having different people to go to. Again, that does not mean, chas v'shalom, that I go to different people depending on where, who gives the kulas. You know, that's not, that's kula shopping, and that's not allowed. But in terms of spiritual growth, you know, hopefully we could grow from many different people and be inspired by many different people. And I think that's is very fruitful to hear Torah from different perspectives, even within Torah. But for sure, in Psach, in Eitzah, in Derech HaLimud, there is nothing wrong. And even if it's it's a positive idea to do that. Obviously, let's see, just even in terms of Psach, the personal relationship plays a major role. If somebody's in a shiur and they feel that this is an amazing shiur and there are 500 guys in the shiur, that's amazing and wonderful, but he's probably not the best person to ask one's shilas to. So much personal element goes into, in terms of halacha. You know, I've gotten emails, I've listened to your shiur for 6 years, I want to ask you my question, they'll start asking me a shila. So some shilas are kind of objective, but, you know, sometimes certain areas of halacha definitely have personal elements, and that's just because you're connected through certain parts of Torah, certain parts of Lamdus, does not mean that that's the right address for the Psach. So in terms of different rebbeim, there's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful to be able to learn. I think it's healthy. It's healthy to be able to learn from various people. If somebody only thinks, we'll get to this, I think we have one of the other questions too. I think if one person is stuck with only one person and can only learn from that person, and everything is that person and no other Rebbe, I'm not comfortable with any other Rebbe in the world because this is only one person, that's a challenging situation. Because we always have to feel that, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, he'amidu talmidim harbe. The job of a Rebbe is to be ma'amid talmidim. That means to make them independent so that they can exist not without the Rebbe, but somewhat independent and be able to exist with maybe other Rebbeim. You know, for example, just as you know, our Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael should stay with us forever and ever. I happen to be one of them. But it doesn't mean that, you know, after your years in Eretz Yisrael, you go to other wonderful yeshivas, so there should be Rebbeim that teach me then too. And I move to a community. You know, there are Rebbeim that I can learn from then from, and there's the Rav of a Shul, and there's the Rosh Kol in the community. So it's very healthy, I think, to be able to have different rebbeim to learn from. But again, not in terms of a b'dieved looking for certain answers, but in terms of connecting on different levels and expertise in certain areas and learning from different sources of Torah.
Everything he said, and also, I like the way the question was phrased because it was like having a rebbe for different areas of halacha and hashkafa. I think a lot of times. I agree 100% with everything Rabbi Raza said about it's very important to be influenced by many people, to gain the perspectives of many people. Obviously, the common ground of all the Rebbeim has to be a sense of Yerushalayim, a sense of Hashkafas HaTorah. You don't want to be too broad in who you're going to be mushpa from. But one of the things to take advantage of in the various yeshivas that you're at is that there are a lot of different kinds of Talmidei Chachamim who you can really learn different things from, and that's really great. At the same time, sometimes I find not so much at your age, well, even at your age a little bit, someone, let's say, is in a yeshiva. So they say, well, if I'm in a different shir every month, well, then I'm going to get, you know, something from each and every Rebbe. I know so many guys from when I was in yeshiva who just hopped around from one shir to the next because the grass is always greener. There's always this one and that one. And they ended up leaving yeshiva without any real Rebbe, without a kesher to a Rebbe. And that's, you know, that's kind of tragic. I was speaking somewhere recently, and I don't even think I quoted Rav Schechter, but I guess I did. Sometimes I guess I do unconsciously. I said the words Mori Viravi, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, I wish I could say those words about anybody in my life. Mori Viravi. You should be able to say it about many people in your life. You should have a real connection. A lot of times with Balabatim, you know, people who are ready, they buy a home and they move into a community, they think, I'm a community person. If I daven Mincha Marav and that Shalom Shachar's there and this there and this. You're not a community person. You're torn. You're nowhere. You're not, which rabbi is going to dance at your kids' chasanas? They'll all come say mazel tov because you have somewhat of a connection with each of them. But who's really going to be happy for you? I mean, you're not really going to have it's important to develop a genuine connection with Rebbeim. Especially, I always tell chasanim, when I learn with chasanim, you can get advice in Shalom Bayis, and it's something that you want to work on your whole life. Don't think that, like, I have everything that there is to tell you. My wife could tell you. I don't have everything that there is to tell you. You should get advice from many, many different places, many different sources of wisdom. So, just one more point about having one Rebbe that you go to for everything. It's sad that I have to say this, but unfortunately, recent history has shown, I know many people that have put too much stock in a particular charismatic rabbinical figure. Not that charisma is bad. I mean, charisma can be very good if used properly. I'm sitting next to a very charismatic person right now, but it comes out purely in the sense of Avas HaTorah. But if a person puts too much stock in one person, unfortunately, I know several people where that rabbi had turned out not to be quite what people thought he was, and it absolutely crushed them because he was everything. He was the one. He was the only one, and that's not healthy. So it is important to be mushba from different people in terms of being well-rounded, and for all these other reasons that we suggested as well.
Many have parents who are balei tshuva who don't have a strong mesorah of minhagim. Should boys take on all the minhagim their parents have taken on, even though they may not be rooted in the strongest mesorah, or should they try to adopt a Rebbe's minhagim?
Rav Soloveitchik used to tell people, apparently, I never met Rav Soloveitchik, but I hear from his talmidim that he used to tell people not to adopt his minhagim. You can understand, it would be kind of weird if everyone adopted all of his brisker chumras and all of the Soloveitchik minhagim. They're not meant for the average man. But I think it's also a model that a Rebbe is a Rebbe. A Rebbe is there to teach you Torah, to guide you, and along with the influence of your parents to supplement that in very important ways. But minhagim belong in families, and a person should follow his family minhagim to the extent that they exist. Now, if a person, let's say, finds that he grew up in, a Litvisha family, a Yekisha family, let's say, and his Nekudas HaNeshama is in Chasidus. That's the only that he only finds Sipuk in Chasidus. So he wants to, but not like the fake, like real, like he wants to, you know, go all in. He wants to have the white socks and the pay his money. So that's fine. He will then take on Chasidus Menhagim when he moves into that community. So it's not about picking and choosing Menhagim. Rabbi Shachter often talks about how, like, you don't even have to do Ataras Nadarim when you're changing a minhag. You're simply not allowed to change a minhag because it is not yours to change. It isn't your neder. It's like going down for generations on the tzibur. But if you're going to change communities, now you don't even need to do Ataras Nadarim because now you belong to that community. So if a person finds a community that really talks to him as he matures, I'm not saying for a 14-year-old, I'm saying as he matures and he grows up a little bit, that's perfectly fine. Yonah has said many times how he wants to become a chassid, and that's it's perfectly fine with me. That's absolutely fine. I'll meet his kala and I'll tell him all about her. So if a person wants to take on minhagim like that, that's perfectly fine. You do have to make sure that your parents are okay with what you're doing, or as okay as they're going to be, and obviously not be like a bull in a china shop where everything, you know, where anything that gets in your way, you're just absolutely destroying everything. That obviously goes without saying.
Minhagim in general, there are minhagim and there are binhagim. Almost every minhag, I should say almost, but there is a line of in Chazal, minhag mevatel halacha. There's also a line, minhag osios kehenim. So there are minhagim and there are minhagim. Almost every minhag that Klal Yisrael has some basis in halacha. If there is mamish a minhag ta'us, there are very few and far between, but almost everyone has a basis, and one has to be very hesitant to change, again, this is not exactly the question, but it's a general, very hesitant to change any minhag. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim includes minhagim in lo sasur, that one has to, it's part of Torah Shebal Peh, and one has to be very hesitant. Again, I'm generally, my upbringing, my rebbeim, very traditional in terms of that. You know, changing minhagim, one has to be very careful about it. I remember last year, someone in my community came and said, did you hear in such and such a shul, the following occurred. What was the following occurred? The people of the community of the shul were thought that the Simchas Torah davening was too long. They're trying to figure out ways to cut it, so they could cut the Kiddush, but they weren't ready to cut the Kiddush. But what they decided was, you know what, we don't all have to get aliyahs. You know, it takes such a long time for every man, no matter what age, to get an aliyah. You know what? They went to the Rav, and they asked the Rav, you know, what do you think? So he said, put it to a vote. So they put it to a vote, and the Tzibur decided that whoever wants to get an aliyah can come before Mincha and get an aliyah, but otherwise we're mochel, and not everybody has to get an aliyah. And I heard the story, and I predicted what was going to happen in that shul. Which had happened, more and more things happened. To do away with a minhag for at least 600-700 years old, it's quoted in the Ramah. It's a minhag, just a minhag. But it's a minhag that is ancient. Because of tircha, because I think I'm in shul too long, that type of attitude, that type of, well, what am I violating? It's just a minhag. I think it's a very dangerous attitude, especially in our day and age, where, you know, there are many even well-versed in halacha that say, well, I know the halacha, and this is only a minhag. The word only, I think, is a very dangerous attitude, because ultimately it will border and impinge on halacha as well. But we have to be very careful about changing any minhagim. Rav Soloveitchik, again, is quoted as saying, in a different context, but I'm going to apply it here, that one could be a mechadesh, but just not a meshana. There's a difference between shinui and chiddush. Shinui means I'm just changing something. You could be a mechadesh. There could be new areas, and we could apply things to new ideas and to new situations. But I have to be a hemshech. It has to be a continuation of what was. If I have the attitude, well, I could do what I want to do, and what happened beforehand, as long as I'm not violating a sifkan and shulchan aruch, I'm okay. I think, especially in our day and age, it's a very dangerous attitude. So before we change any minhag, and I'm always very hesitant when I get any shaila about this, always very hesitant about changing minhagim. But one also has to realize that I'm not my father. If there is a behavior that, I had a Talmud that once asked me, I want to wait 6 hours instead of 3 hours. We're yakis. Can I wait 6 hours? I said, is your father feeding you the ice cream after 3 hours? And no, I just want to wait. I said, well, Rov Rishonim holds 6 hours. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Shach, they'll say 6 hours. So if you want to add that, that's fine. Again, in your father's house, if you're dafka having a milchik suda and he's going to want you to eat with him, so maybe that one has to be nervous about that. But again, if there's a minhag that I feel is halachically will bring me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to, and especially if it borders on a halacha, I want to wear a jacket when I daven. I want to do this. I want to do that. So again, one has to, one has that flexibility, but again, as Rabbi Leibowitz said, one has to be sensitive to the family sensitivities. And with this point, I'll finish. There are minhagim and there are minhagim also in terms of how strongly parents feel about those minhagim. There's certain minhagim that are like define the yontif. It defines the family, these minhagim. Like sitting and standing for Kiddush. That's a minhag. That's a family minhag. All 3 days are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, or Kiddush, how do you say Havdalah? Right? That was the example I heard, was that he gave a whole shiur about Havdalah, sitting or standing. So after the shiur, I think he said he should sit at the end. Says to Rebbe, what should we do for Havdalah? He says, do what your father does. He just gave a whole 4-hour shiur. This is the Beis Medrash and this is the house. Right? We have to do, there are two exceptions to the rule, right? One, I'm sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, there are a few exceptions that he says that he thought were against halacha. But generally, one has to be careful and know which minhagim they hold close to their hearts, which minhagim, they would be extra wary over, and, one has to not worry about, one to try not to cause friction regarding those.
My uncle said that when Rav Soloveitchik gave that Shalashudas Torah about sitting at Havdalah, so then he stood for Havdalah. So they said, Rebbe, why did you stand? He said, because my father stood and my grandfather stood. And that's it. That's your following that. Well, I happens to be sitting and standing in Kiddush. Rav Shechter once told me that he changed his minhag on that.
I'm saying you have to know.
He said in front of his father, he always did what his father did.
Right? You always have to know what the father would do.
Coming out of yeshiva, a boy may occasionally find himself with a different religious outlook than his family's. How does one make sure that he lives harmoniously with his family without compromising on religiosity, values, or beliefs?
It's not my job to educate my parents. That's a yesod gadol that, especially boys coming back from Israel, or going to Israel, coming back, or any time in life. It's not a child's job to educate, unless if the parent asks, the halacha. But in general, it's not my job. So if I learn something, or if I grow, if I have some new idea that I learned, it's not my job to go back and change my family. I have to change myself. I have to work on myself. And that's a crucial, and that doesn't mean that I'm any less, Baal Chesed, loving. It's not my job to go back and say, that's really wrong. That's not my position, that's not my job, it's not helpful, and it's not going to be positive. Even if they vaday are violating the halacha, it's still not my job. We should take in general, and we'll get more success in the long run, just the opposite, just chesed, chesed, chesed. Right? Being overly nice and super kibbutz of aim, and building the relationship. But first and foremost, it's not my job to educate my parents. Number two. Hilcha Shabbos, it comes up very often. The Prima Gadim says that if there's one day out there that says it, you can rely on it, even if we don't paskin that way. And the food's not usur. Oh, how did my parents warm up food? And this, l'chora, most of the things that are happening isn't trafing up the house, isn't making something. So we have to recognize the different levels of what's going to affect me. So we have to realize there yesh mi'amal ismoch in many situations. But I think the crucial thing in in our behavior is consistency. And that is, I might have a certain chumrah, and I'm going to start doing this. But if my life is not consistent in all areas, if I want to be makpid about this, but then my parents see that I'm still watching these movies, and I'm still not getting on time for davening, and I'm still this, I'm still... So there's not going to be any respect, because it's somewhat hypocritical to do something in one area and say, this is what has to be done, and this is... And I haven't, I'm still have a lot to work on myself. So we have to try to be as consistent as we can in terms of our growth, in terms of our avodas Hashem. And if our family sees that we are sincere, and we are people who are growing, and people who have learned, and we're not out there to change anyone else in our family, and we're not out there to judge anyone else in our family. I'm me, and I could decide what my Shabbos table is going to look like, and why. And sometimes it's a little challenging in different situations. But it's challenging, but it's... We have to realize that who we are, when we're a child and when we're a parent, and at different stages of life, we have to be extremely sensitive. And the more we could show that dan l'kaf schus sensitivity. Maybe our parents didn't have the same opportunity to have the experience in Israel that many of us have had. So that would go a very long way in terms of furthering and deepening the relationship with our families.
Let's say that when your parents are struggling with this, they often go to seek advice. What should I do? My kid came back from Israel. He's absolutely out of his mind. All of a sudden, he's doing all these crazy things, and he was not. I don't even recognize him anymore. And I will tell you that, sadly, the advice that they often get is just wait a few months. You'll weather the storm. He'll be back to normal in just a few months. And the research says, unfortunately, that that is most often true, actually. I was invited to a meeting of leading educators, and I had to be invited because they needed one Turo token person, so they invited me also. It was a weird meeting to be at. It was like all these principals and heads of school of whatever, and I'm sitting there like looking around. With it. But anyway, they OU did a ton of research on kids' attitudes post 11th grade, post 12th grade, post Shana Aleph, post Shana Bet, and essentially what they found is that kids are pretty much what their parents are. Which was stunning to a lot of people because the exceptions to that are so, you know, bolate that we often don't realize that most of the time the exceptions are just that, they're exceptions. We don't even realize that they're exceptions. And like a lot of the educators around the table were like, all right, we're doing a good job. We're holding down the fort. And one of the Balabatim who was there, who was not in Torah education, said, wait a second, is this the goal? The goal is to just hold down the fort, to just keep everything the same. In my business, if we're not, you know, growing, if we're not doing more, that's failure. That's not success. So sadly, we're not. This question is often not a long term question. Our job is halavai. It should be a little bit of a more long term question if we're making meaningful, lasting change in our lives. Now, in terms of actually dealing with it, when you have different religious views, again, everything Rabbi Rosner said, I don't have to say that every time, right? I agree with everything he says. Okay, it's important to keep the long game in mind. In the short term, any particular issue might seem like the most important issue in your life right now. Part of that is immaturity, and I'm not saying that like talking down to you like at your age. I know for myself, sometimes something bothers me in shul or something, and like in my mind, I'm like going crazy. And you know, a few days, I just need a few days, and then I'll realize, not the end of the world. You learn to take things in stride. In the long run, there's no more important relationship other than the one you'll have with your wife and your children. No more important relationship in your life than your relationship with your parents. You're going to need them, you're going to want them, and that relationship is something that's going to enrich your life. You know, Ad Mea Vesrim Shana, or Ad Bias Gol Tzedek, whatever, hopefully Ad Bias Gol Tzedek comes first, you know, that's going to be something that you don't want to sacrifice. It's also important not to be a total Ama Aretz. A lot of times it comes from that. I remember one young person coming back from Yeshiva in Israel screaming that the parent took warm challahs out of an oven that was off already, but the oven was still warm from before Shabbos, and putting it under a challah cover. Oyvei, hatmana. I learned there's such a thing called hatmana. Now, if you know any of the Tanai hatmana, any, you don't even have to know all of them. Any of the, you know, you know that that's not hatmana. So that's, you know, stam and amaratzu. So a person has to be careful not to be an amaretz. And to just emphasize something that Rabbi Rosner said, smile, be friendly. You know, Rav Simon was here today. It would always amaze me. I've never heard a parent complain about Rav Simon. You know, sometimes they complain about Rebbe's. This Rebbe's, I don't know what he's telling him, whatever. Because you ever read Rav Simon's Svarim? Imre Baruch, they call it Simon Says. Cute, right? So every piece is about Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And everyone agrees to that stuff. Everyone, you know, keep all the chumras in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and ultimately, that's something that your parents will appreciate, and they'll see that it fits into a consistent lifestyle. And obviously, don't be provocative. You know, teenagers have a way of doing that, and that's part of testing limits. That's what teenagers do. That's how they're wired. You're growing up already. You don't have to be a teenager. Don't try to be provocative. Don't try to provoke a reaction out of your parents. Try to go almei menuchos a little bit, you know, smoother kind of sailing.
Assuming that non-Jewish music one listens to is clean in terms of language and content, is there an issue with listening to non-Jewish music?
There are different opinions about this. The majority opinion seems to be amongst, Gedolei Yisrael, that it is at least questionable and something to be very, very careful about. On the other hand, most Jewish music comes from non-Jewish music, apparently. I don't know anything about music, but that's what they say. The experts apparently say that a lot of the great Jewish songs, even the ones that made it into our liturgy, and the different styles of davening very often reflect which galus that segment of Jews came from and what kind of music was popular in that galus. So you have to believe that at a certain point we have the ability to be mekadesh a niggin or a style of music. Mori v'Rabbi Rav Shechter has a pretty strict stance on this. At least the last time I heard him talk about it, that music comes from someone's neshama, and you don't want something from a dark neshama, from someone who you wouldn't want to be like. You don't know what they're giving over to you in that neshama. Others would suggest that even if the person is not a great ideal role model, they may have really good things about them, and it may be talking from some very good part of them. If it's a song that's sweet and that's sad and it's sweet and new and complete. No, if it's a song that that actually has has some meaningful message. I overheard someone arguing with somebody once. How could you play? It was like on the Yom HaTzmud program or something, or Yom Yerushalayim program. How could you play Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? She was secular and she was singing and it was called. She was experiencing something so ruchni at the moment when she was writing Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. I hear both sides of that. I don't really know.
I think 2 points. There's a practical issue and a more general issue. So again, the question was, assuming that it is clean. So that means one has to wade through a lot of music in order to find it. So on just on a practical level, it's hard to decipher and always know. Are there valuable songs out there that don't come from Jewish sources? And there's something that we can learn from? Chachma Bagoyim. Right, Tamin Torah Bagayim. So Chachma, there is Chachma in certain musical notes. There's a lot of Hasidic thought talk about the music coming from the deep in the soul, and there's definitely certain Chachma that is in music. But again, one has to know which, and again, wade through it. And certain types of music are a little trickier to wade through than others. But connected to what the Rebbe Leibowitz said, just to give a mashal. There's a beautiful Rambam. If you never saw it, it's highly recommended or required reading. The Rambam in the first parak of Pirkei Avos on the Mishnah of V'lo Matzasi Guf Tov El Ashtika, I think it is. I think it's on the Mishnah about not talking too much. He says that every single word that we say in life is put into one of five categories upstairs. After Me'av Esrim, we're going to go upstairs, and every single word that we mentioned is going to be in one of five categories. It's a pretty awesome thought that the Rambam says. Or in terms of like, whoa, right? Or like the awesome days, like Yomim No Rayim. It's also awesome in the colloquial. What are the five categories? Every single word that we say, the Rambam says, there is mitzvah, tefillah, and Torah, and brachos. And then there's the other extreme, which is asur. Right, Nivel Peh, and Rechilus, and Lashon Hara, those are the two. Then there's Divrei Rishus, that's kind of part of life, like carpools and shopping and stuff that you have to talk about, because like you're living, so what's for lunch, and just little, that's Divrei Rishus. And then you have the two other categories. And the two other categories are the litmus tests. What is, I forgot his exact Lashon, it was written in Arabic, but like Mitu'av, and Merutse, the exact question. It's not usur, but it's not so great, right? It's kind of, the metuav means disgusting, but it's not what we should be talking about, even though it's not usur. And Merutse, it's not Torah, it's not a bracha, but it's something that has positive ideas to talk about. And it's, I don't know whether the Rambam would say it's philosophy or anything positive, other wisdoms, that science that you can learn from. So there's what's usur and there's what's mutter. But then we have to see in life, things have to give us some positive value. And not just what we have to do, but everything else has to be. So when we think of music, how much of music is positive, how much is neutral, and how much is negative? Right? So as we said, most fits into the negative. There'll be some that are neutral, but our life is about being positive. And our life is about, just like our divor, that's to be what affects our neshama, what affects us positively. So again, are there certain English songs? Again, few and far between, and probably most of them are old. Most of them are old, right? Music was different even when we were growing up. And years before, you know, everything was somewhat cleaner and somewhat more wholesome. And there are some classics, old classics that there are out there. So again, whether it's music, whether it's literature, whether it's some of the great our great leaders were experts in English literature. So there's this Chachma Bagayim out there. So I would say the same thing in music, but one has to be careful about it and see what gives me the positive value that I seek.
How should one set a goal to learn and know Shas?
How could one set a goal to learn and know Shas? So I'll start with a story. So I was just, when I got these questions, I said, oh, okay, I have to find that WhatsApp. So it is a WhatsApp. One morning I woke up, and I go to davening, and then I give the daf afterwards, so I don't look at the phone before davening. So it's only like 2 minutes before, after the daf, after Shacharis, before the daf. So I usually look at my phone. I got an email. Rabbi Razer, is this your address? I have an emergency. What number can I call you at? What is it? So I gave my phone number. Okay. I didn't hear from him the whole day. 10:30 that night, I get a WhatsApp. Here it is. Is this Rabbi Rosner? Yes. I was the bacher who emailed the Rav yesterday using my mother's phone. I need some help with regarding to my learning. Could you help me? I know it's quite weird that I'm contacting you across the globe. It's just that I've listened to lots of your shiurim and sichas, and I think you could help me. What's your issue? Covering ground. I just can't. It's depressing. I managed only maybe 6 blot in Elul. It's not that I don't learn. I'm not comfortable saying this, but I learn 12 or more hours a day. I'm also, Baruch Hashem, very good in the shiurim and in halacha. I got hasmach in shchita and kashrus recently. That's not covering ground. We don't measure growth based on dafim, but on effort and work. If you do your best and work hard, then that's it. Ramosha says you can even make a siyum on one page of Gemara if you work very long on it. Ezeh o'asher asmeh b'chelka v'chulu. So there's no inyan in knowing Shas? Take it day by day. That's all you need to do. How old are you? 21. I finished Shas, whatever, I talk about myself a little bit. then, whatever. Interesting, he says. Based on my cheshbon, I will finish Shas when I'm 112 years old. Quite depressing. There's no chiyuv to know Shas, just do your best, that all Hashem wants. And it's the Yitzhahara to have these thoughts about life. Hashem doesn't want you to be upset. Just think about today and fill your time properly. That's all you need to have in mind. I understand what you're saying, but maybe something needs to be fixed because everyone else is managing. 6 blot is not a problem. It's really depressing. I feel like I've accomplished nothing, especially since I'm known as a big learner in yeshiva. Bechulu. Whoever's telling you these things is wrong. There are different styles and different goals. You need to speak to a mashgiach who understands your strengths, etc. There's no mashgiach that I connect to in yeshiva. That's a problem, in a way. Etc. This kid donates for about 20 minutes. I ask, and then I've heard this from, and then he quotes some of Rebbeim that we're familiar with. Doesn't he say you have to cover ground? And he asked from different of my Rebbeim. He said, how many daf did you cover sometimes in Shiur? I said, sometimes we did 7 blot the whole year. A lot of notes. But he continues. It took me a very long while to convince him and to help him realize that learning Shas is beautiful and wonderful and amazing, but we have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's no mitzvah of finishing Shas. We have a mitzvah to learn, to use our time properly. And that means we wake up in the morning and we set goals and we continue and we do it. Is there an idea of finishing Shas, of knowing, they say, to quote the story that they once grabbed the Rav Soloveitchik from the hallway. Rebbe comes and he's making a siyum on Shas. He's like, really? I never finish Shas. So what does that mean? You could do shas. Obviously, he saw every sugya in shas. But the idea is Talmud Torah. The idea is connecting. Are there different stages of life? I would add that maybe somebody feels that they want to do more and they want to cover ground 100%. In yeshiva, I always tell people I don't think daf yomi is for one's limud in your yeshiva years. If you're learning all day, you want to have a seder on daf yomi, that's fine. But if you want to, it's very fast. You got a chazer. You know, but I wouldn't recommend that. Is dafyomi amazing, amazing for once you're out of yeshiva to make sure you have a kviyas itim and to be able to become familiar with every topic in Shas and to see every page. And we should, yes, there's something. But again, that the goal is to finish Shas. The goal is to learn Torah and be kviyas itim la Torah. Be'ez Hashem, we should have the schus of finishing Shas and finishing Yerushalmi and finishing Medrash and finishing. So again, you know, there's an idea and one could have a plan. And, you know, it's fine to have plans to finish and to this and to that. But then the goal is, you know, to have as Shas going through me, not just me going through Shas. And, you know, just doing what we can and not to be depressed and not to be, you know, I remember, I think when I was one of the years that when I was in Woodmere, so there was a Shabbaton, Reb Nevenzahl came in. And they were having a Shabbaton in, remember this? In the IRS. And I think he was making his, he made a CM. I think it was his 65th CM on Shas. Right, that Shabbos. Okay, Nevenzahl. That was then. That was 15 years ago. Many times since, I'm sure. But anyway. But okay, amazing. We have people like that in our generation, and it's amazing. But our job is just to learn and to do our job and to be step by step, and not to get depressed and not to get intimidated. You know, there should always be people that know more than us, and we should always recognize that. You know, no matter who you are. You know, we should always have people that we feel small near, and they know a lot more than us, and we should feel like, even if I had 100 lifetimes, I'm not going to know as much as them. That's good. If we use it as an inspirational tool and say, wow, that's amazing, I'm going to try to do my best. But that's just a few things. So again, the goal is Talmud Torah, and the goal is having a positive outlook on one's Talmud Torah and not being too hard on oneself when one cannot, you know, doesn't finish things very quickly.
I like the way the question was phrased, was to learn and to know, because I think that a lot of times people have a lot of emphasis on the first and not a lot of emphasis on the second, the notion of Yediyas HaTorah. And I agree with Rabbi Rosner, there's a tremendous Yetzer Hara in wanting to, I have to see it all. But if you see it all and you don't know anything, that's, you know, not particularly helpful. You know, my favorite shtick of the summer, by far, is Yonatan Kurtz's going after every Rebbe and asking, right? I want to go back to what one of the Rebbeim said, asking each Rebbe, what's the one thing you would advise for someone going into Shana Aleph? So Konigsberg had a very strong response. Strong meaning, he really believed his response 1,000%, and he said, Chazer, Chazer, Chazer. And no matter what happens, no matter whether you're the most talented or least talented guy, you're going to be the best guy in yeshiva. Because everyone's going to talk about Chazara, and you're going to be the only one who does it. Because nobody does it properly. No one's really Chazering. Chazer, Chazer, Chazer. And the idea, you know, the Gemara in Erev in the Talmud Torah Sigurd was in the Gimel, the Dalit around there, right? When the Gemara talks about all these Talmud Torah issues, so it talks about learning four times and how the Masoras HaTorah happened through four times of learning. So the Stipler writes in all of his letters, four times just means to understand it once, meaning four times is not the Chazarat schedule, that's the learning schedule. Then you got to figure out how to Chazer. So, you know, and you'll find that a little bit at a time, you do cover a lot of ground. You know, I do find that it's sad that many, many people do not take a bechina seriously, a serious bechina that actually tests their knowledge from the time they're in, let's say, 11th grade, because 12th grade, no one's really, you know, as long as you're showing up, they're so happy. You know, but at the time you're in, let's say, 11th grade until, like, you have to take your first smicha bechina. You know, you take the secular, if you're in college, you're taking secular exams, and bechinas are a very valuable tool. We had a Rebbe's meeting in yeshiva at the end of the year, and I suggested this. I said, you know, we have like a Gemara final on the schedule, and no one has ever given a Gemara final, and like in the yeshiva. And I said, yeah, I think maybe we should. It's like, it's a very valuable tool. I remember the guys in Rosa Spikes here studying for, like, for weeks. They were going late at night or whatever. I mean, the guys in Rav Shachter's call, well, you had to know 10 block Gemara Rashi tells us, and you had to know every line, you know, you really, because you never know which detail caught his mind that he was going to, you know, that he was going to ask about. And that's something. That's really something. Of course, you know, Rabbi Salvechik Tzadik said, I'm afraid that there's a guy in my shir who works really hard and he's not so strong in learning and he's going to feel bad. badly about himself. But it's if you have the opportunity to test yourself in some way or another, and I'm saying this even though I don't do it myself, Rabbi Reza actually does, you know, then you know, Dirshu B'chinism, like then you should test yourself. Also, as you're learning, it's important to I think memory works by building like constructs. You know, memory doesn't only work by trying to remember fact after fact after fact after fact. There's been a lot of research on this also, that memory works when you're able to like build a story or a construct, an idea, and then connect different parts into that. That's certainly how I see my own Rebbe's memory working, and it helps to have like a knowledge of sugyas, of ideas, of concepts and shas, and then you can apply things. They say the Maisa with the Briska Rav, where someone had like a photographic memory or something, and they told the Briska Rav, this guy knows all of shas, so he sat and talked with him and learning for a little bit, and he said, and after he left, he said, it was mamish unbelievable. They said, yeah, it's pretty impressive, right? He said, no, I've met Amaratzin before, but never in Amaratzin in all of shas. I mean, it's quite a feat. So it's important to develop those kinds of categories and constructs. And if you're not sure whether you understand something, try to explain it to somebody else. And if you can't, then you don't yet understand it.
This is a two-part question. A, how does one strike a balance between Talmud Torah and Chesed? And B, are there times in life that a person should place more emphasis on one over the other?
This one is me. I should go first. I just spoke, right? Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva, I think, where he talks about giving meiser of your time for chesed. It should be pointed out, chesed doesn't always have to be divorced from Talmud Torah. Sometimes chesed is having a chavrusa with someone who doesn't have an easy time finding chavrusas, or someone who's a weaker Talmud who maybe could use some help, or maybe someone who just socially could use some chizik to spend some time, and sometimes that most powerful time you could spend is learning together. So sometimes you could do them both at the same time. You know, I don't know that the meister of your time has to be cheshbon exactly, you know, like with an exact calculation, but roughly that should be something that you do. Obviously, there are certain times where you'll have a little more opportunity for chesed in Zman, and probably more than during the Zman. But it should be noted, and he's not going to be happy with me for quoting him, because every time I do, he gets emails from people, and he gets... But my good friend Rabbi Yecheskel Freundlich, many years ago, was my chavrusa, was my Musar Seder chavrusa in Kerem Biavne, and you know, we were learning something about chesed, and I said, okay, I guess this is good for after we leave yeshiva, but like, there's nothing really to be done here, you know? Everything's cool here. And he gave it to me over the head. He's, I mean, to the extent that he's capable of that. He said, you think everyone is just okay in yeshiva? What about, ironically, he said, what about that kid from Montreal, which is where he lives now? He said, what about that kid from Montreal that doesn't know a soul in the yeshiva? And he came in not knowing how to read a Pasuk Chumash, let alone a Gemara, and we're in Kerem Biavne, and all these other guys are learning, learning up a storm, and he feels totally lost, not knowing a soul and not knowing anything. And what about that, you know, yeshivish kid from Denver that ended up in the Hesder yeshiva somehow, and we have no idea how he got here or, like, why, and he doesn't either know anything. Anybody. And like, what about the fact that all of the Svarim at the end of Second Seder need to be put away, and people are leaving them all over the place, but everyone's too busy running to see if it's soy dogs or something that they could actually eat for dinner that night? What about all of that? And it's just like, open my eyes. Like, there are chesed opportunities all around. So even when you're in yeshiva, you could do a lot of chesed. You just have to open your eyes a little bit. You know, one of the challenges of being... One of the challenges of life, it's not only your age, one of the challenges of life is to look a little bit outside of ourselves and to try to see the world through other people's eyes and try to appreciate their struggles. And chesed is not about, you know, checking off a box. Oh, I got my chesed hours. I did this number. I'm not bad-mouthing the chesed hours. I think it's wonderful that, you know, girls' schools, boys' yeshivas, more boys' yeshivas should do it. They should have chesed requirements to habituate one to do chesed. But one does not become a baal chesed by filling in hours. One becomes a baal chesed by thinking like a baal chesed. And when you think like a baal chesed, the opportunities will jump out at you, and there will be many more opportunities than you're probably aware of.
Two things. First, the second part first. That is, in terms of times, I think for sure, obviously, chesed, as Rabbi Leibowitz just mentioned, chesed during yeshiva, but definitely your years in yeshiva have a different emphasis than your years after yeshiva. Your years in yeshiva are primarily Talmud Torah. That doesn't mean within the yeshiva there aren't chesed opportunities, but it doesn't mean that every time there's a chesed opportunity in an afternoon that I'm supposed to be learning, you know, twice a week, I'm going to go do chesed. Chesed is crucial and important. But if these are my years of learning, and, you know, efshar la'asos ha'idei acherim, it's not that I don't want it, but, you know, if it's on a Friday, if it's on a time after, outside of hours, then fine. And if there's a one-time thing or whatever it is, for sure. But one's years of learning, one has to focus. The more one intakes now, the greater leader and giver one could be afterwards. You know, often sometimes we don't want to dilute the years that we have in learning at the beginning because I want to get out there already. We have to first build on ourselves. Again, obviously it doesn't mean that there's no chesed, but I think there's definitely more of an emphasis during the years of yeshiva for the Talmud Torah and then the chesed after. But also just to emphasize, and I think something interesting just as a perspective of a parent of kids who went to high school in Israel, chesed is obviously, it's not just doing it, but it should be something that's inculcated within us. And I'm not just talking about chesed. Let's expand it a little bit to communal responsibility. There's an intangible. I didn't get it. I didn't go to school in Israel. But there's an intangible that, let's say, my kids have, and they get through going into high school specifically, I would say, in Israel. This feeling of having to give to Am Yisrael. This feeling that you're part of an Am and you have to give. And you have to share the burden. And you have to, again, I went to a wonderful school and I loved it. But generally in America, it's more about my own personal growth. And I'm going to become the best learner. I'm going to be in the best shiur. And I'm going to go to the best school in Israel. And I'm going to come back. And I'm going to go to this yeshiva. It's all about me, 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 me. It's not so much about what I'm going to do for Klal Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's intangible. It's not just that it's spoken about, but it's there, it's in the blood. And I have to give, whether it means I have to go to the army, or I have to share with Lumi, or I have to give, there's something there. And again, there's always a balance of different things, but it's like I look at them, and I look at the country, and you look at like it's a tremendous value. Tremendous value that halavai, if every Jew in the world felt like that, then we'd get along with each other much more, and we'd feel mutual responsibility when we're not just interested in ourselves, but we're interested in the Am. It's really the Am. Whether it means I'm going to go on shlichut to somewhere in the world. You know, maybe Chabad always feels it. You know, the Rebbe transmitted that to his Talmidim. They always feel that responsibility. But that, not just chesed, but again, it's not chesed, it's just responsibility. It's being part of the Am. And it's something that we should feel, again, those who have the schus of having learned or going to learn in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see, and if you're in a Hezri yeshiva, you see what your roommates, you see what your fellow countrymen are going to be doing. They're not just in it for themselves. They're in it for the Am. And it could be, again, that was a whole general thing, it could be that idea was not really felt so graphically and so tangibly, except in the last 70 years. You know, before that, when we were living in Galus and when we were living outside, so yes, we have to connect, we have to do community work and chesed and involvements, but Am Yisrael, there's something about Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, when you have to defend yourself, when you have to build for yourself, when the garbage men have long white beards, when everybody is taking responsibility. Hopefully everybody's taking responsibility. And one has to have that attitude. And that's what, you know, there's a certain level of achrayus that is felt. So I wouldn't call it chesed, but it has to do with ben adam l'chaveiro. There's an achrayus that halavai, each of us should have such a feeling, in innate feeling of I need to give. Like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu with the malachim. Right? Like Ramosha Feinstein points out in the Drash Moshe on Lech Lecha, on Vayera. There were no guests, but he still had a taiva. I need to do something. There were no guests to do, but he had such a desire to do it. Hashem gave him guests, gave him the opportunity. So I think that's a crucial value that we have to try to gain ourselves, and we have to try to transmit to our family, to our children.
Could you say a story? The past couple of years, I've attended. Rabbi Razin just mentioned Chabad has this message. I've attended the Kinnush Shluchim of Chabad. It's a very inspiring event. And this past year, they had a speaker who was from the Chabad of one of these islands where they had these terrible hurricanes that like wiped out the entire island. And he told the story about how there was a boat where a number of people were able to go and get off the island, and he had a spot to go on the boat, but obviously there were, not everyone was going to get off, and he wasn't sure if he should go or not. And he said to his kids, you know, he said to his wife and kids, he was talking to his wife, his kids overheard, should I go, should I not go? And he said his 3-year-old or 4-year-old said, Tati, you can't go. Who's going to take care of our Yidden if you go? Meaning that a sense that there's a chrayus for Klal Yisrael at such a young age, what Rabbi Razin is saying, that's part of, like, you know, mother's milk in certain segments of the Jewish community, that in much more in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly in Chabad, you know, that's something that we can learn from those communities.
It's easy to learn Torah with non-lishma motives, whether it be because everyone around oneself is doing it, or because one wants to gain kavod. How does one purify his limud Torah to be fully lishma?
Mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. I think we shouldn't overanalyze our learning Torah. You know, the Gemara talks about lilmud avanas lakanter. I don't think many of us are like trying to learn in order to stump the Rebbe and to come out. I don't think you know, we're learning. And we're learning Dvar Hashem, and sometimes we're into it, and sometimes we're feeling it, and sometimes we're not feeling it. Sometimes we have great siddurim, and sometimes we're a little out of it. We just have to learn. The more we enjoy it, the better. That's great. That's the Egel Tal and the Hakdama. That right, those who know that he quotes the Tos Mefursim, right? The great mistake that people think that you have to learn Torah just because Hashem says you have to learn Torah. If you enjoy it, that's a bidyeved. He says that Tos Mefursim. That's the greatest mistake in the world. Enjoying it and loving it. It goes into your blood. It's amazing. It's great. At the highest level. Do we always feel that way? No. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we have other things on our minds. I don't know. Again, I think they're probably few and far between those of us that are learning for a negative reason. You know, are there? We're all a little gaivadik. You know, we all feel good that, you know, if we learn something, I'll know. I'll be known as one of the machers. I'll be known as, you know, one of the top guys. We all have to work on our gaiva. And our anava. But that's a separate issue. It's related, but it's a separate issue. But if we're learning, we should learn. Don't psychoanalyze ourselves into why am I learning? Am I in this category? We could just learn. Try to be as into it as we can. And with Hashem, the rest is mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. We'll get to the highest levels.
Rabbi Yechezkel Freundlich told me many years ago in the name of his grandfather that the Gemara says the Olam Yasek Adam Torah Mitzvah Pishlol Shema Shemitoch Shlol Shema Bel Shema. Where is the Olam? So the Olam, you should be doing a Shlol Shema. Shouldn't the point that doesn't the end of the sentence say Shemitoch Shlol Shema Bel Shema? So why is it the Olam? So he said in the name of his grandfather Zichron Levracha that you should always feel that you're not quite there yet as far as the Lishma that you could achieve. Meaning it's okay if you don't feel like your Torah is 100% Lishma. I like how Rabbi Razin said, don't overanalyze why you're learning, just learn. You know, you could worry about why you're learning later on, but a person should learn. At the same time, there is a tendency sometimes to turn learning into a competitive sport. That could be a very unhealthy thing. People just, you know, I gotta be the last one on the Beis Medrash. It's like, I'm not even seeing the words on the page anymore. But as long as I'm shuckling and there's that guy there and I'm not the last one out, oh, don't worry, the second he leaves, as soon as I'm sure that he's not coming back, I am out. I am definitely gonna be out of there. So that's not a healthy thing. If, you know, how do you know if you're getting to that point? Well, if you're not on time to Shachris the next day, you've probably hit that point. You know, then you're learning Torah as a competitive sport. You're losing if you're not coming on time to Shachris the next day. So you're never going to be at the. None of us are ever going to be at the pinnacle of the ideal lishma. And that's why the Gemara says the Olam. You should learn Shalol lishma, but be careful about turning it into too much of I'm better than the next guy kind of feeling.
Oftentimes there are gemaros that seem to go against modern day science. How do we handle these apparent contradictions between Chazal and science?
There are different opinions out there. There are different opinions on a lot of these things. I'm not an expert in either, in Chazal or science. A little more in Chazal than science, but not in either area. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the kind of person that was ever really... I mean, there are some people that are... It's chisard in me. There are some people that are very deep thinkers and like to think about all the world's big problems and challenges. I don't know. I'm more of like an emunah pshuta kind of person. So it's like, this is not the kind of thing that ever shattered my emunah. I appreciate that some people say the age of the universe. Okay, yeah. Do you buy the Schwab's Mabel argument? Do you buy the argument about the days of creation being much longer days? Or Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara olamos u'machrivan? Okay, wonderful. Okay, I don't know. Maybe they make sense. Maybe they don't make sense. I don't know. It doesn't shatter my emunah too much. Now, when you're talking about Gemaras that say things that seem to be scientifically inaccurate. So some would tell you that it means that we don't understand what the Gemara is saying. We don't have a full understanding of what the Gemara is saying, meaning there's something deeper being conveyed in the Gemara. Others will say that we understand the Gemara and the scientists are a bunch of apikorsim who are just out to get us. I find that hard to believe, but and yet others will say that the Gemara was going with the best science of their times. You know, certainly no one is going to open up a Gemara Ksuvis and say, okay, how do you do brain surgery again? Where are my leeches? I need my leeches to help me with the brain surgery. You're not going to do that because now we have better ways to do brain surgery, presumably. I don't know what the success rate was in the Ksuvis brain surgeries, but we know how to do some of those things better. And some say I'm an apikoros for saying that. And that's all fine. It's all, I don't know.
Like our Rabbi Leibowitz said, there are various approaches whether to reinterpret Chazal, take something that sounds like a reality suggestion and say it's a halachic suggestion. There are tiny bugs that seem to come out of the fruit. No, it doesn't mean that. It means just halachically we could view it as that. There are different views. Rav Dessler talks about this and others. We generally we're not paskin lakula based on any differences, but it shouldn't. The Gemara is not there for to give us a history lesson. The Gemara is not there to give us like lamaisa advice about different things. The Gemara, again, a separate topic, has everything in it. Hafokpa vafokpa. My father likes to talk about a lot of these. He's written about a lot of the medical. Topics in Avodah Zarah and in Gittin and all those dafim, not as every single thing we're going to follow this, but he finds amazing sources for modern ideas in some of these Talmudic sources. Oh, and they knew that this happens. I don't know it because I'm not a doctor. Everybody around me is a doctor, my family, but I'm not a doctor. So the more you know about something, the more you can appreciate it. So again, certain things, the more we understand about science, maybe it will fit, it won't fit, but we know, and some are machalik between Chazal and Rishonim. Chazal had a certain siyata d'shmaya, and they could do tchias ha-mesim, and they could have baskols, and they have a lot of other ideas going on. But we have to realize that... You know that they were also human beings, and that's why they could teach us. But again, the source of a chachma is there, and we could get a lot of ideas. I was going to say something else, I don't remember. We could gain from there. Just one other ha'ara, and that is Rav Yisrael Salanter was fond of saying. We say in Israel, we say it every day at the end of davening, but in Chutz Laaretz we say it at least on Shabbos. Enke Elokeinu, Nusach Hashanas, and Mika Elokeinu. So shouldn't you ask the question first, Mika Elokeinu, and then Enke Elokeinu? Mika Elokeinu, then Enke Elokeinu. So no, first comes Enke Elokeinu. There's nobody like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we could delve and search and try to deepen that. But it's not going to be based on, oh, I'm going to first Mika Elokeinu, and then if I don't get an answer, the first is Enke Elokeinu. And then we can question and delve based on to strengthen it. So again, everything in the Gemara that we learn is there to help and strengthen and deepen our emuna. If that's something that we don't understand, okay. Whether it's this, whether it's that, whether it's against Chazal or this Chazal. But again, everything is... My father quotes often that the Rambam was way ahead of his time and many of these ideas were way ahead of their time. So again, it's something that... Oh, that's right. I remember what I wanted to say. The more we know about something sometimes, the more it has an effect on us. That's what I was just saying. My father sees some of these like operations, like, whoa! I don't. I had a friend of mine who was a Rav in a certain community, a number of Balei Tshuva in the shul. It was Parshas Truma. And after the davening, there was someone who was recently Orthodox, Shomer Shabbos, comes over to the rabbi, my friend, and says, Rabbi, that was the most unbelievable Parsha, Torah reading. It's like, really? He says, yeah, it was amazing. He says, it was, okay, yeah, I know, all of Torah is amazing, but I just ask you, usually people aren't so inspired by Parshas Truma. It's not one of those, like, you know, up till there, yeah, Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim, but Truma is kind of like a, wouldn't say a downer, but kind of like, Shnayim Mikra gets a little more challenging, and, you know, now we need the picture books, and, you know, Truma, so, can I just ask you, like, what makes Truma so exciting for you? He says, Rabbi, I have to understand, I'm an architect. And I see all of the dimensions and how they fit and how this and because he was different, because he had his background, he appreciated it so much more. And he's like, yeah, it's exciting. So again, that doesn't answer all the questions, like the science and the Gemara questions. But it could be the more we were expert, both in the Gemara, in the science, whatever it is, you know, we could appreciate it more. Again, it's not really answering the question, but I think it's an important mentality to have when one even approaches these issues.
What advice do you have for someone entering their Shana Aleph of Yeshiva?
It's a big discussion. I would just say, in short, first of all, use time properly. Use the time properly. Use the siddurim properly. Again, this might be the opposite of what many people might hear, what I'm about to say. But grow at a normal pace. Grow at a natural pace. And don't be too intense too fast. Because if people try to jump steps in the ladder and try to be too intense, it could lead to burnout. It could lead to unhealthy growth. And, you know, like some of our rebbeim say, there's a mitzvah also to be normal. And, you know, one has to realize, you know, what it's about, it's an experience. The year in Israel, obviously, Talmud Torah is primary, but, you know, Tiulim are also crucial and important. Having kumzitzes is crucial and important. Having some downtime is crucial and important for growth in a healthy environment. One has to make sure, because then you know it's true and it's strong and it becomes part of you. Again, a lot of it depends on chevra, a lot of it depends on where you are and what everybody else is doing, but as long as it's done in a healthy way and one is following the schedule, and you know, doesn't mean that, like the question from before, everybody else is learning by the break, but I want to sleep for an hour, I want to play ball, so play ball and sleep and it's fine. And one has to just you know, be ready to grow, have the great attitude, take part in the experience of Shana Aleph or Shana Bet or whatever one is in, and enjoy it. And again, the more one tries too hard, too fast. Again, that doesn't mean it's too hard. I'm coming to davening every day on time and being at afternoon seder for 3 hours. Obviously, we have to be honest and we have to fulfill the schedule, you know, as much as we could do, and maybe push it on Thursday night and whatever it is. But again, it just has to be in a healthy way. That's what I would say, in a healthy way. And as long as I don't, and what if I don't know if it's healthy? I just speak to my rebbeim. I could ask my rebbeim, you know, what's is this too intense? Is this too whatever? You know, is this a good behavior that I should start doing? You know, we have to make sure that we're properly handling our growth and our avodas Hashem.
I remember talking to Rav David Willig once many years ago about I don't remember what we were talking about, but somehow it came up that he is an enormous Talmud Chacham. Just an enormous Talmud Chacham. And, you know, all due respect to DRS 12th graders, you know, like he could probably give shir on a higher level than DRS 12th graders. And he said, I don't know if there's a better slot out there. He said, because the Shana Bet boy, he already believes he doesn't need a Rebbe. You know, he's been learning for 6 months almost. Like, what does he need a Rebbe for? And I don't know when that happens or why that happens, but sometimes people get the feeling that way too early. It happened to me also. Way too early. They're like, oh, I don't really need shir. I could be okay with that. So it's important to connect to your Rebbe and learn how to learn from your Rebbe and see how he approaches the sugya and how he approaches life. But I would also say it's important to learn from different Rebbeim. Almost any yeshiva you go to will give you exposure to more than one Rebbe. Don't be like that guy who, I can only listen to what this Rebbe says. And no one else. It's all competition. If I'm in this Rebbe's shir, then this Rebbe is the dominant personality, and no one else has anything to offer. No one else knows how to learn. No one else has. There's a lot to be gained from a lot of different people. Especially if you're in a yeshiva that has Israelis and Americans. One of the great experiences I had in Keren Biavna was going to the sichot of Kalman Ber and Diane Be'eri, and you know, just these were people that I don't think, are they still around each other? I don't think either one is still around each other. But they're people that you know, that were there, that were really there for the Israelis, but they were willing to talk to us, and you know, and those who took advantage of that gained a tremendous amount from that. And it's not only the Israeli Rebbeim and the variety of Rebbeim, but the variety of Talmidim as well. A lot of times people go to what seems to be a Hesder yeshiva, or a yeshiva of Israelis and Americans, and it's like the yeshiva's good, except it also has Israelis. You know, like that's like a downside of the yeshiva. That is not a downside. That is a very positive thing. You know, one of the questions we're probably not going to get to that people asked was a realistic approach for American boys who want to make Aliyah, which obviously Rabbi Rosner is much better at answering, is much more equipped to answer, as he's all these questions, but particularly that one, than I am. But I would say one of them is like, don't be such an American all the time. Like when you go to Israel, like you don't have to spend all of your time in Rehavia. Like when you you talk to your friends in yeshiva, they don't all have to be Americans. Make some Israeli friends. Stay in touch with them. See what their life is like. You know, I think that's those are some important nekudas.
Many boys go to yeshiva institutions that offer a wide variety of shir options. How does one choose the shir that's best for him?
Okay, I guess I'll start with that one. I'm going to say something that will surprise you a little bit, I think. Don't trust your Rebbeim in Israel completely. I know that's a little surprising, and I love your Rebbeim in Israel. Whoever they are, I love them. I go around yeshiva to yeshiva, and I'm just amazed by how wonderful the Rebbeim are, and many of them are my old friends, and chavrusas, and v'chule. I love them all. Many of them don't know necessarily what every shir is like. You know, the guys that went to YU who were matzliach were usually in one person's shir, and that's why we spoke about that before. They weren't hopping around from one place to another. They developed a mahalich and a connection and whatever. So they don't know what all of them are like, nor do they necessarily know the current landscape, just because 25 years ago it was a certain way. I have to tell you, so many times I go to yeshiva and I'm talking to the Rebbeim, and say, maybe this boy can make it in Rav Soloveitchik's shir in Landers. And they'll say, oh, Rav Soloveitchik, who's that? You know, like, they don't necessarily know Rav Soloveitchik. I mean, he's like, I mentioned to you guys the other day, the Rabbi Mendelssohn told me that b'shem someone that he trusts very much, that he holds that Rav Soloveitchik is greater than his father was. It's a pretty big compliment. That's greater than Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But there are some big people, but not everyone knows who they are. You have an unbelievable advantage that we didn't have. And that's called YU Torah, if you're going to go to YU, or there is some sort of Lander website also. You could listen to recorded shiurim, and through the recorded shiurim, you could actually get a sense of what it's like. And you can speak to people who are a year or two older than you. Is this a Rebbe I can relate to? Is this someone who has time for me? Is this someone who's ever going to know my name? You know, and You know, it's not that if the answer is no, that he's not someone that relates to everybody, that means it's not for you. Maybe you're that kind of guy that's going to make sure that he knows your name. And that's great if you could do that. But if you're more shy and you're not going to be that guy, so then maybe that's not this year for you either. So I think take advantage of course, speak to your Rebbeim, but don't take it as the one and only word on the topic. Speak to guys a little older than you and listen to shiurim. Find out what the personalities of the Rebbeim are as well.
Just a couple of again points to add. Figuring out what shiur to go to is not like going to the supermarket. And there's a lot of different choices of chips, and I'll try this one, I'll try that one, I'll try that one. We shouldn't have that attitude. And when I'm 17 years old, to think, well, this is my Derech HaLimud. And therefore, this is something, do we know what our Derech HaLimud is when we're 16, when we're 17, when we're 18, when we're 22, when we're 25? No, hopefully we know what talks to us. There are general ideas about shiurim that are more on the daf and shiurim that are off. But whatever shiur one does some research and tries, and it is someone who I can relate to and can have a relationship with, so then it takes time. It takes hard work. It's not just about what makes me feel good the first day or the first 2 days. I'll tell you, the first few months in Rav Rosenzweig's shiur, there was a lot I did not understand. I spent 2 hours every night trying to figure out what was said and talking to the other guys. Like the first semester, it was just when I chazered for the bechina, when I chazered for the final, like 3 siddurim a day for like a week and a half straight. That's when now I get it. I thought I got it, but now it starts. It takes hard work, and if something is hard or something like the 2 days, maybe I should switch. It's not just like going and picking and choosing. If there's a Rebbe that I value and I feel that this is somebody that I can learn from, and it's a person who's somebody that I respect, and he could be a model for me. And I know, even if I don't understand it right now, but I know that it's somebody what the goals of the shiur are. I know people have told me this is a shiur that you get a methodology, and this is a shiur that you get ideas and shas, and this is a shiur that so I have to give it time. Give it a zman, at least. Give it a zman and work through it. Again, obviously, a chavrus is an important part of it. But again, we have to have the attitude of, again, taking advice and getting advice, but then giving it time when everything is, I did the history and I spoke to the Rebbe and I know what type of shiur it is. And you can't judge a shiur by one shiur, by two shiurim. It has to be somebody that, we can learn from, and we have to help develop that relationship and that Torah, and Beit Hashem, then we will see the fruits of our labor. But again, it can't just be that it's like I'm choosing. Even if it's not we have to realize that it's Rebbeim. Besides the idea of Kavod HaRav, that if I go and it's not I don't feel it, to realize before we go in, obviously there's certain times you go at the end of this month after Pesach and you are to try to figure out for the following year, then it's known that you sit in on various shiurim. But if there's a shiur given, one has to give it time, and Beit Hashem, everybody should have siyata d'shamayah in that realm.
All right, we'll call it a night now. Shkoyach Rav Ebi, thank you so much for your time.
No desert island safer?
What is yours?
No.
Okay.
Can we see the rest of that?